I mean, that's a whole thing, moonshine. I mean, I don't recommend it if you've, you know, not been brought up in that environment, because you can die. And creative flares are not always the best way to go either. Just throwing that out there.
Did you say flares?
No, flavors.
Flavors.
Yeah, like you get certain moonshines and it's like, oh, yeah, this is watermelon sunshine. It's like, nah, man. Nah, I'm going to pass.
Pumpkin pie.
Anything with the word pie in it is generally safe when you're talking about like hardcore moonshine.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the Guardian Hub podcast, where we talk Destiny and our experiences in the game. We like to spotlight different guests and communities and our place to talk about uplifting experiences we've had. I'm Kingsley Mack. And with me, I have Sin. Sin, how are you tonight?
I'm pretty good now that I heard yourself called Kingsley Whack.
I know, right? See, the thing is, like, everyone who knows me, I just go by Kingsley. I just added the Mac because Kingsley wasn't taken. And so I'm not even used to saying Kingsley Mac myself. So sometimes when I say it, I'm like, wait, I'm Kingsley Mac? That's weird.
I guess that's better than McKingsley.
Yes, McKingsley, who I used to be, where it was supposed to be MC Kingsley. But I digress. Sin, we have a wonderful night tonight. Who do we have joining us this evening?
I was going to say, digress. That sounds familiar from Destiny Unfiltered. Tonight we have a very, very special guest, Mr. Man-at-Arms. How are you, sir?
Well, I've been known to say that phrase from time to time.
More than just time to time.
It's a good one.
That's the problem when you talk to me. It's like my brain moves so fast, I can't remember what I was talking about 5 seconds ago. So inevitably, I have to go, but I digress and go back to whatever topic we were talking about.
I was listening. I caught up 3 or 4 episodes of Destiny Unfiltered this week alone because I've been behind on listening. And because you were coming on tonight, I wanted to catch up, and I should have had a counter, but I heard it quite a few times, and I'm like, that's a good word. I should start using that.
I mean, it's not copyrighted. You can borrow it.
Sold.
It's also like the swearing. Like, I was thinking about this earlier. It's, you know, I talk the way I talk, but there's a reason about it. A lot of people know I had a speech impediment when I was a kid. So, and it's one of the things about, you know, you think faster than your mouth can keep, you know, your mouth can't keep up with your brain, so to speak. So, you know, I got in a lot of trouble in grade school because you get a lot of pauses where you'd go, well, you know what I mean? And those are stammers to get past the stutter. When you get older and you become an adult, you just insert curse words into those pauses and people don't notice it as much. So it just flows naturally.
Understandable.
Well, sounds legit to me. I'll take it.
Yeah. I got to use that technique. Maybe I'll sound a little more professional.
Now, I did have a question I was kind of thinking of. I remember seeing a tweet from you about kittens in a car bumper. Is that from where you work?
Yeah, that was actually a thing that had happened. It happens a lot, actually. It's just not, I shouldn't say a lot, but it's not uncommon. But that was unique. So basically, we were servicing an Audi, and they put the Audi on the lift, and all of a sudden, you hear a bunch of kittens crying. Okay. Well, the bottom, and oh, now this man. Is a car that had just been driven on the interstate and road tested for, you know, alignment problems and everything. So this car's gone about 90. So apparently, a cat had given birth to a litter of kittens and, you know, crawling into the engine. Well, the bottom of an Audi, there's about halfway down the front of it, there's a heat shield that covers up the entire motor. You can't just change the oil on an Audi. You have to take the car apart to work on the bottom of the motor. So we literally had like six grown men tearing apart a $50,000 car to save kittens, which we thought was justifiable.
Yeah, I would say so. So you are actually, I'm also in the automotive business. I work for a Volkswagen dealer. So
I'm sorry.
It's practically the same thing as Audi, just the cheaper version.
Oh, I know. I just appraise cars. So I'm not even, that's why I end up in the shop so much, because I get bored. Because if there's nothing for me to work on, I'm literally just hanging out. So I'm like, yeah, I'll help you change an oil pan. Sure, why not?
So you're an appraiser. Does that mean you're also a sales manager?
No, I strictly just appraise cars.
Nice.
I'm fortunate to have been around cars 78% of my life. And I am probably one of the most qualified people on the planet to appraise a vehicle. Unfortunately. And it's just something I'm doing for now, because it's a little bit laid back, because I did finance for a couple decades and that got old. So I was like, well, I'll do this and just to pass some time and, you know, actually be at home for a change. So I'm going to stick with this as long as my wife lets me, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I can relate. I'm a sales manager and my hours are shit. I work a lot and I'm on the road for my commute, an hour and a half one way if there's no traffic. So 3 hours on the road plus my long days. Oh, it is God. Brutal. Oh, yes.
And then to try to fit in time to play the game, to podcast. Man, how do you do it?
No sleep.
No sleep. I did that for years, because you'd work a 12-hour day and just inevitably you get used to sleeping like 4 hours. And it's just like, well, I got to be up in 2 hours anyway. I just assumed, let's play some Crucible. Why not?
Or do the, I'm at the point in the game now where I have no sleep and I'm doing this mindless grind for the, summer solstice event. And it's like 25 patrols. All right, I'm not going to fall asleep 2 patrols later. I'm like, you know, it's like.
I figured out a life hack for the solstice armor.
Yeah.
Do not acquire it.
Hey, I almost went that way. I was like, this year, okay, last year I granted it out. Was it worth it? Not so much. And then this year, okay, armor 2.0, carrot on the stick. Oh, this, that. Okay, I'm going to go for it again. I have a podcast. I need to talk about it. But now I'm kind of like, why am I going for this?
See, I went another direction. I'm making myself the guinea pig, because my theory is like, well, if the entire armor system changes, then day one, I'm going to be getting new versions of armor.
Yeah, and that's what I thought.
There's probably going to be a light level increase, which means I'm not going to carry my old crap anyway. So I'll be equipping blue crap. I'm going for it. So I could be horribly wrong. I could be horribly wrong, but we're going to find out.
We will. Yeah, that'll be interesting to find out. I mean, I am close to getting my purple set now, and I'm just, as I've been playing with people, I've been doing it, but boy, doing it by yourself when you have to do those patrols and everything, that's where it really gets boring and long.
Yeah, I was fading last night when we were in party chat, and it was, what, almost 2 a.m. for me. And actually close, probably 2:30, and we were doing, I can't remember exactly what we were doing, probably some IO patrols or whatever it was. And I felt myself fading, and I'm like, now it's time. I got to go. I'm like, yeah, I'm done.
See, I have a lot less stress. I have to shoot 97 more people in the face to get a revoker, and then I'm done. And that's, I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to do this. And I'll get a mediocre sniper rifle at the end of it, but that's fine. It's okay.
Yeah.
But at least you'll have your pinnacle weapon.
It's funny. I was talking to a buddy earlier, and I never realized this, but I'm over 50% of the way to all of the pinnacle weapons because I've never gotten a single one. Because I only started playing comp like 3 or 4 weeks ago. I'm not doing this. I don't have time for this. And now I'm into it. So I started looking at all my quests. I'm like, you know, if I time this right, I can actually get all of them to drop in one shot. And that might be cool.
Yeah.
Well, that would actually be really awesome.
So we're going to see how it goes, but, you know, it's comp. It's 50-50. And then I'm switching over to the PC for the most part after Shadowkeep comes out. So that's a whole different player base.
Yeah, and hopefully it'll be better, though, too, because right now it is a little even more so the sweatier guys. But with the extra population coming in September or now October 1st or whatever, but hopefully. And, you know, Sin and I are considering switching over to PC a bit more. We have PC builds. Where did you come from again? Was it?
I'm on Xbox.
Xbox, I thought so, yeah. Yeah. A lot of good guys over there right now. The population's still pretty big on Xbox.
I don't have any like loading problems or anything like that. Like if you need to do, a lot of people have done things like me, like they've skipped specific quests. Like I still haven't gotten Izanagi's Burden. And so every once in a while I'll get a couple friends. I'm like, dude, help me do this strike real quick. Okay, cool. And they haven't gotten to the point. So a lot of people apparently skip that exotic quest. So you run into things like that every once in a while. But no, it's like I'll hear the horror stories like my friends on PC. You know, you got 5-10 minute load screens to get into a comp game. And me after like 30 seconds, I'm like, okay, back out of this lobby, go back in. And I've got a game within like 2 minutes. So that's not really an issue. But I've heard people say that the Xbox lobbies are a little sweatier than the PlayStation lobbies. I don't know if that's true or not, but I've heard that for a long time. But I'll be able to tell you in about a month.
Yeah, it'll be really, really interesting when we're all kind of swapping back and forth. Only thing I don't have is an Xbox, so I'm considering if I can find one on the cheap. Might as well play on all three when the opportunity arises.
Yeah, cross-save would definitely be good for that.
I mean, I'm going to have to get I have a PS4. I never use it. I'm going to have to hook one up in my entertainment room. Because I have friends that only play on PS4, and these people I wanted to play with for years. And it's just like, well, I have to. It's like we have to form the most annoying Titan squad ever assembled and wreck shop on the universe. We have to do this one day. Because we've been talking about it for years. And we've had the whole platform barrier. And I've also talked smack to people for years and hid behind the platform barrier. So I might have to reap what I sow in that regard as well.
No, we didn't ask. On PC, mouse and keyboard or controller?
I am not using a mouse and keyboard ever again. I played Warcraft for way too many years of my life. I'm not doing it. It's fine. You guys go ahead. I'll lose more. It's okay. I'll suck it up.
They actually, I've heard people say that some of the best competitive players on PC still use controller. And in fact, Kingsley, I know, is going to be using controller on PC. I have my newly acquired Astro. I've also had an Xbox controller that I used to use. I'm not very good at mouse and keyboard, so it's I'm probably going to stick for controller most of the time, if not 100% of the time.
Yeah. That doesn't mean that I'm good, though. I'm on controller because I'm not good.
I don't know what the sensitivity limits are or if there are any, but most times when you play a game on PC, like you can flick your wrist and do a 180. So I don't know if Destiny is, you know, if there's a restriction for that, but if it's not the case, I don't know. But we'll see. We'll see. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine. It'll be like what you're used to, at least. It's very, very similar when you hop over to PC and plug that controller in. You're like, oh, the game is the same. Of course, things are smoother if you have the extra frames and wider field of view. But otherwise, the game's the same. It's very comfortable.
Well, I will say this. I played at Guardian Con, and those were PCs with PlayStation controllers.
Yeah.
And the very first engagement, I was like, what the hell just happened? Because I was like, I can aim.
Yeah.
You're all going to die. It was like, but immediately it was, I didn't have time to change the maker. I had an awstringer, which I'm like, okay, I got a hand can. This is fine. And just completely, you know, just nuked the first person I saw. And I was like, wait, what just happened? Oh, I can aim. This is what they've been talking about.
Yeah.
Aha. And then I think I proceeded to run around and tackle everybody the rest of the match. So, I mean, that was to be expected.
using dad loadout, Lord of Wolves.
Or Peregrine Greaves.
That's going to happen regardless. But I got killed by a guy 2 hours ago still using Lord of Wolves. I'm like, why? I respect you. He didn't read the patch notes, I guess.
I know, right? Maybe he's just doing it for the solar kills. Was it a warlock? Because I actually did that a little bit myself on, again, the stupid solstice. One of those things is do solar kills. So I was kind of going between Lord of Wolves or whatever. And I digress. The actual dad loadout, of course, is Yotun, but Lord of Wolves is kind of there too. But
I did that the other day when somebody just pissed me off. I was spitting furious because it was every game I went into, everyone had an Arental. I even announced beforehand, I was like, this is fine, equips Jotun. And I think I had like some of like my best games I've had for forever as far as like number of kills and KD. I was throwing up posts on Twitter. I'm like, and here's the kill feed for this one. I warned you bastards. It's like, if you want to keep this up, I invented this.
Oh, man. So
they should. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. You finish that thought because mine's slightly different. But
oh, I was just going to say they should probably do something about really restricting the range of fusion rifles in the future because
Let's talk about that. Actually, that is a very timely thing. I mean, I'm one of these Arental lovers and I can understand people. I've always been a fusion rifle guy. So for me, I feel like it's a little less of a scummy thing to do because I know how to treat them well, pre-charge them, you know, how much range each one can have. And I do have to admit, I got my god roll with range, plus range. So I can map people pretty far away. I understand people get frustrated from that. Do we feel like it is a weapon that should be getting nerfed next or could be getting nerfed if enough people complain about it?
I haven't seen it probably as much as you all have, but I don't know, and I haven't used it either, so.
I'm almost like they can't nerf fusion rifles because we've been trolling Bungie for 5 years to nerf fusion rifles.
Well, I just feel like there's something that people want nerfed, right? I mean, there's something to complain about, and it was Lord of Wolves, and rightly so, I'm sure, but I've just been hearing more and more people. I kind of agree with what you say, Sin. I don't think Arental is going to get enough traction on Bungie's desk of saying must get a nerf because Lord of Wolves was just crazy, especially on PC. And if you look at the meta list for most used weapons, it is about halfway down, supposedly. It's like fifth or sixth place for the energy weapons. But I just don't know unless it goes up even more and everyone happens to get the god roll. I just don't know if they will nerf it, or if they do, it'll just be some like matter of fact. Oh, by the way, we're just slightly reducing range along with some other weapons or something like that.
I think in the list of problems, it's probably pretty far down the totem, to be perfectly honest, because if you nerf fusions, everybody's going to be running around with a shotgun again, which is fine for me. It's not going to make anybody else happy. But, I mean, there's always going to be something that's a little, you know, somebody does a video on YouTube and talks about how great something is, and then the general populace sees said video, and then everybody's using that weapon, and it's like, oh, well, this is broken. It's not broken. It's just popular. I mean, you got to have that. It's like, I've been having fun. I am not a great sniper, but I've been having fun sniping the last few days because I guess nobody's really ready for it or paying attention to it. But like there's a God, I can't remember the name of that D1 map that they brought to D2. It's on the same
tower
planet.
Bannerfall?
No. It's the one where it's the same planet where they have the black garden.
Oh, yeah. I forget the name, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, there are now three sniper lanes. There were two in D1, where it was like you just didn't walk down those hallways because you knew somebody was going to be standing down the end of the hall with a sniper. I'm like, I get that map, and I'm like, and they're still coming. It's amazing. It's just, I haven't moved in 2 minutes, and they keep coming down the hallway. Why? I'm out of ammunition, damn it.
I know. I kind of want to go for my sniper pinnacle weapon also. That's next on my short list. It sounds – I'm not a sniper by any means, but now may be the time to try it. You're giving me some great hope here.
It's actually pretty easy. I did it wrong. I thought you had to have sniper kills in competitive play. And I'm not even going to lie. It was like 2 or 3 days ago I realized, I'm like, oh, I can do these in any – PvP mode. I could be doing this in quick play.
An Iron Banner counts as competitive.
Yeah, you could do it in anything. You could do it in Mayhem if you wanted to, I guess. But I was just like, well, I've been limiting my target availability for a couple of weeks, but this is fine.
Something about sniping, though, is super rewarding when you actually kill somebody. Especially if it's one that was a little tough to get, I find it super rewarding.
I got a banner shield Titan, but I got a Sentinel Titan earlier today because I have a sniper that has box breathing, which I'm like, and it's great for PvP, but it's like, why would I ever use this? And here he comes with his shield all the way down the hallway, and I'm like, and this is the one moment in my life box breathing will come into play. And sure enough, he didn't make it. I was like, this is amazing. This will never happen again.
Oh, man. That is awesome. Yeah, things like that. So do you like playing Crucible in the game? What's kind of your favorite thing if you had a rank doing in the game? Maybe right now. I mean, I'm sure your answers might have changed from time to time.
Believe it or not, I've been playing way too much Menagerie.
Too much? Menagerie is pretty cool.
Way too much. Well, I did it to myself before they patched it. I was trying to get the Beloved I wanted. I got the Beloved I wanted. It's not quite as good as it could be because I got it before I could, you know, pick my range masterwork. It could be better. And then they changed it, and it was like, well, I really wanted an Awestringer with rangefinder and something. So as of today, I finally got one. After 39 Awestringers, I got one with a rangefinder and Eye of the Storm. But it has less range than my Awestringer with Rampage and Air Attack or Air Assault or whatever the hell it is. And I'm like, well, that was a lot of time. Yeah, I could have done something else. So this is fun. But I really like the game mode. It's just the rewards. I was not a fan of them changing the rewards. So it was kind of cool the way it was.
Well, they're probably going to be changing it back. They didn't say exactly how, but that'll be a nice change.
Yeah, we haven't hopped in it that much since the change. It's kind of sad. I really like the game mode too, but it's like not as much of a reason to go in as of right this moment for me.
I look at it like I'm gonna look at everything like kind of from a business perspective. It's like, okay, when your player base jumps up to, you know, over a million, and yeah, it's not supposed to work this way. Maybe we shouldn't change it too aggressively.
Yeah.
Maybe we should look for ways to keep the player engagement up, but, you know, it's spaghetti code and programming. It's not easy just to, you know, flip a switch and make something the way you wanted it to be, obviously. So these things happen.
They do.
But I really like the EAZ. I only did it a handful of times before I was just like, there's other stuff I want to accomplish this season. And I know I'm one of the few people not doing the Solstice armor. So. And I've seen, like, you know, people who are insanely frustrated by the grind of it. And then they get to, like, you know, to get all their purples. And then the next thing is you see the ecstatic, just elation come through their tweets or their clips or whatever. And so it's like, you know, that's what the game should be. It's like, it should piss you off, but there's a reward at the end of it.
I like that. Yeah. A little frustrating getting there, but no, yeah, I know where to draw the line for myself. I'm just going to do it on one character and then be done. There's no way in hell I'm going to be doing my armor on my other two characters. I ain't got time for that.
I think Sarah Daniels was streaming yesterday, and her Twitch title or her stream title was, you know, grinding third solstice character because reasons.
Reasons?
I'm like, yep, I've been down that rabbit hole myself. I'm like, I have to finish this. I don't even know why.
Definitely gives the streamer something to do. That's pretty cool. Yeah, who wants to hop in and do some solstice or whatever? Have you done much with raiding in the game?
I have one raid completion.
No, it's all good. Which one?
I did Leviathan once.
Yeah.
And I was tricked.
You were tricked.
I was at 100% tricked.
Did you think you were going into Crucible?
I was in the Crucible. I was playing my friend Adam. It was on his stream. We had talked about the night before, because just scheduling is like, I would hop on, well, all the guys were on Xbox. Like, I really only get 1 or 2 days to play at that time. So, like, I would, you know, it was just my routine. I'd get up at like 5 or 6 in the morning on Wednesday, and I would play with the guys over in Australia. So I'm playing PvP with Adam, and it's like him and one other person. And then people start to, you know, migrate in. The raid party he's setting up, you know, for later on. I'm like, well, when everybody gets in, I'll hop off and, you know, hop off stream. Okay, cool. Well, the 6th person never showed up. I'm like, he's like, well, you want to do the raid? I'm like, let's go. So that was my, and I did it all as like a Striker Titan.
Ooh.
Which was not ideal for it. It worked for me. I'm like, okay, I'm on ad control. They're like, well, can't you switch to hammers or something? I'm like, no, I cannot, because that is not unlocked. Like, you haven't unlocked hammers? Because, like, this is not the beginning. This is not the beta. We've been out for a while. It's like, you haven't unlocked hammers yet? I'm like, I had no interest in the hammers. I was fine. I'm on ad control. It'll work out. And it did. But no, I have one failed attempt at the Eater of Worlds, which I blame 100% on the fact I had not cleaned my controller and realized this after the fact. I'm like, why is it every time I shoot the little energy ball thing, my controller keeps jumping and I can't make it connect to the front of the shield? Because it was like hanging up and flipping on me. And I'm like, oh, that's embarrassing, because I was live. These things are going to happen. But I saw Spire Stars. I'm like, and no thank you?
Oh, that, yeah, that's probably fair enough. No thank you on that one.
And then Scourge, it was, now, in all honesty, it's just a time investment. So it's like, once everybody, which is, I kind of did that in D1. Once everybody gets the raids down and they can take, you know, everybody knows what they're doing, you have good friends that are really experienced in it, and, you know, you can run through it in an hour or two. That's when I like to get into it. It's like, yeah, I want to do it. I want to experience it. I just don't want to spend 5 hours doing it.
Yeah, fair enough, for sure. And I think that'll be one thing that'll be, you know, funny enough, we have Shadowkeep coming out this, you know, soon. But once we all pump through the campaign and stuff, I feel like raiding will be even a bigger thing, because we have all the cross progression. So if you want to help someone, you know, cross save to a different platform. So if you want to help out some, if you like to raid like Sin and I or other people, we could, someone hasn't done a raid yet over on Xbox, you know, if we had one, we could hop over there or on PS4 or whatever, you know, we'll run raids with you. We'll run raids with anyone. And yeah, that's the way to do it if you're not, want to go through that. Man, how many hours have we put into Crown of Sorrow raid lately?
Oh, God. And I was going to say, we do not even need to wait for Shadowkeep. We are about 2 weeks away. I did hear Man-at-Arms say he does have a PlayStation. He could hop over with us since we don't have an Xbox. or hop on PC.
Or we all could meet on PC, yeah.
And we could get him through probably Scourge and Last Wish within an hour and a half, hour and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
I will eventually take you up on this.
We pretend to be professionals.
I used to, well, like in D1, I used to run all the raids. Like a Sunday, when it worked out, like if me and my wife were on different schedules, like Sunday, if my wife was at work and I was at home, that was raid day. And I would just run them all. Like I'm doing all of them once. Let's hit it.
That's
and
even awesome.
To the point, like I had we got to Age of Triumph, you know, you could get the gear for the one character. And if you had three characters, you had to run, you know, you had to run the raid with all three characters to get all the gear. I remember doing that vividly, like on a Sunday, it was like started like 8 a.m. by like noon, I was done with all three characters on VOG. It's like, do you know what you're doing? No, you stay in here, you shoot, you shut up. Just don't get in my way.
Yeah. Yep.
Shoot shit, don't die.
And you could do that more so with the older raids. The Destiny 2 raids for plus or minus sake. I mean, Last Wish, you can do that somewhat. Just kind of have the guy in the corner. But boy, this new one, Crown of Sorrow, everyone kind of has to pull their weight. That's why I feel like a lot of people are having a hard time getting clears on it.
I've watched it. I like the mechanics for it.
Mm-hmm.
It kicks fun, a lot of people's asses,
yeah,
too.
It really does, yeah.
It's you do have to be on point. And if one person falls on one team, especially that last damage phase, it's a shit show.
But you know what my biggest reservation, well, besides like, you know, having limited time and the amount of time it takes to do raids, there's not a whole lot in the raids that I really want.
Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, VOG will always be my favorite, but it's like, I wanted the whole VOG armor set. And I know you're like, okay, you have a chance for this piece to drop once a week at this encounter. It's like, okay, I need the helmet. But I wanted that particular armor set. I didn't really care for the Titan set on Crota, but I really liked the Warlock set on Crota.
Yeah. So
every time somebody wanted to run Crota, I would run a Warlock because I really wanted that armor set. We had so many more guns too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, you remember this? Like there were like what, 6 or 8 legendaries for every raid?
Yeah, there was a lot
at the end. It was like a Visual and a Confluence. There was God. I can't remember the names anymore. It's like the pew pew auto rifle bullet hose.
Mm-hmm.
But there was stuff you wanted in every raid. It was like, I really want that shotgun. I really want that sniper. Or Kingsfall had, you know, if you liked the aesthetic of it, had really cool weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wanted all the weapons, you were going to be running Kingsfall a lot.
Yeah. You know, we don't have to go into this too much. There is obviously things they could do to make the raids a little more enjoyable for even people that are just like on the fence of considering it. I still think all in all, the encounters of the raids in D2 are pretty darn awesome. But yeah, the loot is just like, almost there. Like there's some okay armor sets here and there, but if we can just kick that up a couple more notches, we'll really have something. And hopefully with the new raid coming up, it'll be there, get more people involved.
Well, actually RNG is what ruined my one Leviathan run for me, because the first raid I completed, I got the Sins of the Past masterwork with the blast radius.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah, no, yeah.
This is all I want. I used it today.
Nice.
In the Crucible, I used it today. I'm like, hey, watch this.
Oh, man, yeah, that was a good one. I remember running that for a long time. Really fun.
And now there's grenade launchers everywhere.
They're fine. At least it's something a little different, but for the PvE, you know. Take down the boss encounters.
I'm totally one of those people right now.
Go
ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, that's why I ran Iron Banner, so I can get a Swarm of the Raven that I liked.
I still need a spike grenade one.
I don't even have a Swarm of Raven, but I have like spike grenades on everything for some reason.
Ooh.
I'm like, okay, this is fine. I'll take this. I'm using an edge transit because I don't have to think to switch it back and forth from PvP to PvE because it has proximity in the other slot. So I'm like, oh, we're in PvP. Proximity grenades. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I'm also one of the six people that uses a fighting lion all the time too.
I want to try that in Crucible. I know a guy that used to run that a lot and swore by it.
I use it in PvE.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, it's like if you have like wizards, anything that's shielded, like a major that you have to take down. Not like the big boy ogre, but like, you know, the wizards come out and, you know, they're a bit of a bullet sponge. Like, you can crack them once with a fighting lion and they don't have a shield anymore.
Yeah.
So if you have a couple guys, not even a whole, but if you have a team that's, you know, the fight, if you have one guy that's a fighting lion guy, it's like, okay, I'm going to take his shield out now, nuke him, and they're gone. Like, it's great for Gambit Prime, believe it or not, like for the envoys. Like, oh, there's there's other stuff you can use, like a flying knee, but that's neither here. That's not for everybody. But yeah, you can use Fighting Lion on the envoys when they come out. It's one shot. They don't have a shield, and your team can just wipe them off the face of the earth instantaneously. So that's. But I'm a weird dude. I play with weird stuff.
Hey, it's fun to try. And that's what can keep the game interesting, too, because if you just try to do the same thing over and over, it can get boring.
Before the show started, you asked about one of our previous guests, Lock and Load Live. Earlier, before we started recording, I actually went back on her stream and was watching. She was in the middle of solo Argos attempts.
Oh.
And just watching it, she was getting to damage phase and actually did her first damage phase that I saw. I don't know how long she had been trying it, but at least one third, if not a little more than one third damage on one phase.
Wow.
I have to talk to this person.
So.
Yeah, did you see what she was using? Did you mention that? Sorry, I
was watching. But I didn't see what she was using. It was a grenade launcher for, I want to say Anarchy for heavy. And then during the crit spots for the wipe phase, she would switch heavy to Whisper because Whisper two-shot crit spots for the wipe phase to reset the wipe phase mechanic. Mm-hmm. And I also noticed she's using it's one of the mods that gives you heavy drops on melee kills.
Okay.
So she always had plenty of heavy.
Yeah, that's definitely important in that raid. Well, in any raid, but yeah.
But things like that definitely keep it interesting.
Mm-hmm. You can't do that on console. Well, not on Xbox anyway. I don't know about PS4, but like, there's no switching your heavy weapon in the middle of a fight because you're going to be gone for about 20 to 30 seconds.
Right. Oh, man. You know, solid state helps a little bit, but still a valid point.
I went through that today. I'm just like, this is the wrong hand cannon. Let me go hide behind this rock and cross my fingers. And we're loading. Oh, I can see my character. Awesome. And we're waiting for the gun. It's like, this is real. This is not exaggerated.
Hey, you were talking about Neen stuff. You like to make videos, do you not? Let's talk about Peregrine Grieves 2, the regrieving.
It had to be done.
It had to be done.
The public demanded it. It had to be done. It was a perfect storm.
How long does it take approximately to put together something like that?
It depends. Time is my biggest enemy because I have, you know, a family and a job and like you guys. But it just depends. It depends what I'm doing. The editing part usually, and I'm stressing usually, does not take very long for me because I just have it down now because I've done it for so long. But generally, if all the pieces I need are there, I have all the footage, I've selected music that will not get me sued, I've recorded a voiceover, I can generally edit a video in an hour or two. And if I would do things that weren't, it's just kind of a storyboard that I follow. It's like, I need this shot. I need somebody to do this in Crucible. So when I do this, it goes with these words, which is kind of the way I make videos. So it takes a little bit more time to edit because you're finding those little perfect snippets. If it was just something generic where the voice were the emphasis and not really what's going on in the background, I could do that in 20, 30 minutes, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm working on one now. I'm never going to finish it ever.
Please finish it.
It's not comedy. It's not a lore video per se. It's different. It's something I had an idea. If I get an idea in my head to do something, I have to make it, because if not, I'll sit and I'll wonder. So I'll, however long it takes, it's just a lot of editing. It's a lot of editing.
I can imagine.
I probably have about 30 hours of actual work, editing work to do to put this thing together by the end of it, and like 30 working hours. So one day it will be done. But if it's something simple, like I used to be able to do, for a little while, I was doing a weekly video on the Destiny Down Under podcast, just as a gag and like a 1 or 2 minute video. And as long as I have like the material, if I can get the voiceover out of the way and do a little bit of footage, you know, it's only a minute, 2 minute video. I can generally do those in about a half hour, 45 minutes.
Sure.
It's just having to, where we're at right now, there's so much to do and there's so much to chase. It's like, okay, do I really want to give up on game progression to make a video about a blue shotgun? No. So I'm kind of in that trap. It's like I have to play to keep up with everybody else, but at the same time, I'm going to have to stop playing the content to progress so I can actually make stuff.
Yeah, that's the funny thing, right? I always imagine the developers of the actual game, like, obviously there's a lot of play testers and whatnot, but some of them, they might not have a lot of time to play the game. That's kind of the funny thing about it. You know, in your free time, sure, but yeah.
Now I know. Go ahead.
I was going to say you have a storyboard all lined out. You basically mapped your entire thought, the shots you kind of imagined for that particular section of voice. Now, are you recording through the Xbox, or you have an Elgato? Are you recording right on your computer?
Oh no, this is all 15-second clips off of Xbox.
Nice.
Which is insane.
Well, you're making it work. Oh man.
In truth, what normally happens is I'll have about 60 snippets that I've made that never even make it into the video. I'll have so much extra footage. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't really need to do this at all. It's like, well, you brought the Peregrine Grease video. I had 60, I can't remember the exact number. I text somebody about it, like right after I made them. I was like, I have 63 shoulder charges that I'm throwing away right now. I just want you to know that. I was like, I probably could have made this a little faster, but it happens. And sometimes they write themselves, like I'll start working on something, and as I play, something else happens. And I'm like, I'll think of a joke and I'm like, all right, we're going to scratch this idea and start over, and we're going to go in a new direction.
Yeah.
No, I joke about it all the time. I have made so many projects that I have deleted because of, for whatever reason, I'm just like, this isn't that funny, or I can't make it look right, or whatever. And it's just like, or you think of something else that you really, really want to do right now. It's just like, yeah, I'll come back to that. And you've never come back to it.
Well, and of course, congrats on getting Movie of the Week.
Thank you so much. That was the community did that. That was like, I didn't even want to make
the community's great. Yeah.
I didn't want to make the first Peregrine Grease video back in D1. People were like, you have to make a video about this. I'm like, okay. Then so as soon as, like, I remember the day they played the release trailer for Season of Opulence and Peregrine Grease was in it. I was like, I had like 160 somewhat alerts, tags, and DMs. I'm like, what happened?
They're like, well, I guess you are going to, no matter if you want to or not.
There was just like, Perrin Greaves is back in the game. I'm like, well, I guess we're scrapping all of these projects and we're going to start trying to get those.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just, it's just when people, I just love making people laugh, which the thing I'm doing now is not going to make anyone laugh. I hope it comes out cool, but until I finish it, I'm not going to be able to do anything else. So, you know, deal with it, I guess.
Well, hopefully you'll still be able to podcast. You have a podcast also, Destiny Unfiltered. I'm sure everyone listening knows this, but I just want to bring it up in case any of our listeners aren't aware.
This is true. I host a podcast called Destiny Unfiltered. We are definitely for mature audiences. But we don't even know what the show's going to be when we show up for it on Tuesday.
Hey, that works.
We used to have it very structured, and I would write show notes and have a run sheet. And it's like, okay, these are topics that happened over the course of the week that, you know, I would like to, you know, hear your thoughts on, and they're pertinent to Destiny and blah, 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 which was fine. And then we're working out tech issues when we first started. It was like the audio in the early episodes really bad. The video is really bad. So about six episodes in, it was like, we kind of got away from that, and it became more about the guest and what they do in the Destiny community and what they do in gaming. And sometimes we talk about Destiny with the guest if that's what they want to talk about. Sometimes we never even get around to it, because if they have something that, you know, they're very passionate about, they want to share, or we get into deep discussion, that's fine. Or we're just going to get hammered and run our mouths. That has been discussed before we went on the air as well. It's well documented.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, let's, why don't we just get drunk and hang out? If that's what you want to do, let's go. And
yeah.
This will be our show for this week.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Oh, man.
But I'm surprised that thing is still on the air. I mean, that got popular really quickly. And I was like, this ain't going to, I actually made a statement to somebody. I was like, okay, if we make it to 10 episodes, I'm going to ask you to do some original music for us for an intro. And it was just like, you really think you make it to 10 episodes? Nah. And apparently I was wrong.
No, that's awesome. Congrats on that. And yeah, we started ours. Was it like April-ish? Now I feel silly. I got to go back and look.
22 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously. And
I think we got beat by like 6 weeks.
But it's fun. It's crazy having a podcast. You know, hopefully you guys continue to have fun with it. That's the most we can all hope for, right? Because if it ever becomes something, you know, yeah, you have the right attitude. And for us too, I love talking about Destiny so much. There's always something to talk about, but we don't have to focus on, oh no, there's nothing new going on this week, because we can like to focus on the community and the guests and other things to talk about. I love that there's a lot of Destiny podcasts out there. There's actually more than some people might realize, but that's a good thing too. And I hope that everyone who has one can keep it going.
Absolutely. Now,
I remember we did one show and it was like, this week in Bungie, nothing happened.
Nothing at all.
And everybody just kind of looked at each other like, so what have you been doing? So it's like, I've been playing Apex Legends. What about you? I've been playing Apex Legends too.
Don't talk about Apex Legends. Shh, don't talk about it.
Well, nobody talks about it anymore. That was, you know, that was a fun 3 weeks, but that's over with.
One and done. Now, you have a normal host. On Air PC, I believe, is the other gentleman's name, correct? But Ryan. Now, yep. Yes. Now you also have a third who used to work with strippers. Is that the guy?
I mean, we all kind of did in some capacity.
I want to say that was that guy, because I remember you had a guest on that said, I think he's part of. Yeah. Is that him?
Ryan Head Jim.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, we all worked in the bar business. Like, just that. That's actually how that conversation started, because if you work in the bar business long enough, that somebody's going to dance at some point. It's just a fact. It's may encounter an establishment that is into exotic dance. It may pay very well. These are just things that happen. It's a journey. It's a journey in life. But, you know, if you want to get to Hollywood, you know, you're going to have to do some off-Broadway plays, baby. It's just, it's a step.
Meet the producer.
But, no, having Jim on, Jim is, he's a good foil for me because we're a lot alike and we have distinct differences, but like we don't talk on the phone because if we talk on the phone, like we lose 3 hours of our life. So everything is through text. It's just like, but it's also like, if one of us can't be there for a reason, you know, instead of having, you know, it's just me and Ryan, and then I'm gone. Like when Kingsley filled in for me, for example, when I was on a vacation, it's like, well, if something happens last minute, you know, you've got 2 out of 3 ain't bad plus a guest. And there's also occasion where maybe a guest has a little bit of stage fright, which has happened. You get the Walt Disney effect where they freeze once you turn the mic on the camera. And it's like, oh crap, now what do we do? So you can just, well, we're just going to continue to talk. And, you know, if they get comfortable, they'll jump back in. If not, you know, we only talk for an hour anyway, so this is fine.
We make it work.
We make it, or we don't. It's fine. We've totally made it not work on several weeks, which is fine too.
This is fine.
I think that's one reason people tune in, like to say, is this going to fail miserably? Is it this week? It could be. This could totally derail.
Sin freezes every week, but we make it work.
Hey, it all comes out in post-production.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't tell.
Yeah, the listeners don't know if there was 10 minutes of pauses right here or it was you didn't have to edit it at all. We're just smooth as butter.
We'll fix it in post.
Speaking of, I need to fix my cut out. Yeah. Look at that. I wanted to add something in to make more work for Sin.
That's okay.
That's all right. We're going to fix this section in post. It's fine.
Yep. Okay. Fix it in post. Keep that in there, Sin.
That I'm long, awkward pause.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to need you to also add in the sound effect of a Star Trek warp engine for no apparent reason.
That's one thing, yes. I haven't done a lot of sound effects.
And Sin, did you remember the red only Skittles for our guest this evening?
No.
Wait, no. What?
No.
Wasn't that your request? I only want red Skittles.
Oh, God. Like the sheet. That...
Actually, I think it was M&M's. Exactly, but,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You have the person showing up for the performance, and they give you this long, this laundry list of bizarre shit they want in their dressing room.
Yep, exactly.
You know, that's a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like... it's so ingrained in the culture that you're almost required to send one of those now, where you just request strange amenities. Because if you don't, you have to do it though. It's just like, okay, there will be, you know, Fiji water in my room, 11 bottles. I had a friend that worked at a state, and when the rock bands would come through, there would be all these really weird requests. Like, we want a gigantic bowl full of only green M&Ms.
Yeah. Like,
okay. We're going to need 3 fried chickens, strawberries with all of the stems cut off. It's almost like an industry thing. Like you have to request bizarre shit.
Well, we'll keep our list going. We'll get yours at the end of the show, and we'll compare it week to week and see who has the most interesting requests. And this will be a fun segment.
You keep adding a bunch of shit, Kingsley.
I know,
like,
right?
Stuff that we haven't come through yet. A hubcap podcast, all shouting podcast. Now I got sound effects added to my list.
I know.
Now we have to have a running doc full of strange requests.
Yes, and Man-at-Arms, you have to come back quarterly and go through the list with us, and you get to pick which one is the best request out of all our guests.
I can actually tell you what you have to do for the audio if you want to do the all-shouting podcast. I got that part down, more or less.
Yeah.
It's not easy. I'm just now learning that you can fake yell on a recording. where you're not actually yelling, but the way you do your voice, it sounds like you're yelling on the recording. But I'm figuring that out way too late in my content creation career. But you can just get a little closer and pitch your voice a little different. And, oh, it sounds like I'm shouting. Well, this is way less painful than shouting. Well, shit.
I've been doing it all wrong my whole life.
I got to learn that trick.
I can't imagine you yelling at all, Kingsley.
No. Am I yelling? No. I was just extending my voice. Don't tell anyone.
I just thought of that Shaq's line. Where he said, when you're in the tower, it's like, what do you mean you can't hear while I'm shouting? Get out!
I'm whisper shouting. It's a thing. Welcome to the ASMR podcast featuring Sin Kingsley and Man at Arms.
Did you say what?
ASMR? Isn't that what the thing is for those like podcasts that have like the sound effects where like people whisper or make little clicky noises, or they have like YouTube videos of it? Have you not heard of this?
Nope.
God, I gotta Google this now.
Oh my gosh, yeah, look it up. It's it started with the idea of and forgive me if I have the acronym wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's ASMR. And the idea started with like little like sound effects to help you relax or sleep or get in a zen state. But then they started having all these weirdos making YouTube videos of doing these sound effects.
God, this is a thing.
It's a thing. It's really a thing.
Autonomous sensory meridian response.
And you'll have some things like where people just go like, what? They'll go like, or just like weird noises, like, and I guess supposedly for some people, if you get the right noise, it's almost like relaxing or euphoric or whatever weird crap you want to imagine. You know, it's like, and you have these people on YouTube of like all ages. It's kind of weird too, like making these videos.
I just found a list of the top 20 of these. And there's all genres, angry ASMR. Sleep with silk, soothing voices. I guess I'm actually plugging other podcasts right now. I probably shouldn't. This is going to violate something.
It violates the terms of service.
This is so bizarre.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I mean, you know, everybody's got their own kind of kink, I guess. I mean, why not?
As long as it's not a vajankle.
Oh, God.
And we'll move on from there.
That's really a call out to
was that another podcast, right?
Yeah,
it's Dan.
It's started with Dad Tales.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that is correct. And it's just kind of, it's now ingrained in the Destiny community forever.
Mm-hmm.
I shared that with somebody at work, and they were talking about something, and I can't remember what it was, but it came up like Urban Dictionary kind of stuff, and somehow it came up to a blue waffle, and then I said something.
Oh,
and
dude. Then
vajankle. So a lot of words were said that day. And a lot of nasty things were looked up.
Folks, if you don't know what any of this stuff is, Google none of this.
Yeah.
Ever.
Definitely not.
I think I'm going to make this my new catchphrase. You can see anything in life. You can unsee nothing.
That is true. That is definitely true.
Oh, my soul hurts right now.
By the way, this definitely should be the most explicit episode that we have.
Yeah. I mean, we're not even getting it. It's just the idea of it. We've been pretty tame with the actual words, but boy, you know, like Apple's like, what are you talking about? You know?
Yeah. Don't Google none of this, please.
Yeah. We're okay. Listen to me. We're safe. We're safe for work.
Mother of God.
Well, Sin, anything interesting we want to talk about this week? Nope. Let's just move on.
Nope. Perfect. Sold.
We don't need to bore our guests. We talked about everything we did. Basically, it's summer solstice. We're grinding stuff. We're doing stuff. We're raiding. We're having fun. We're not having fun. The end.
I mean, we got the Crown of Sorrows. I got my Crown of Sorrows clear last week.
I suppose we should talk about that.
Yeah. Well, we did last week, which was only 4 days ago with recording.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about that and we've tried it a few more times, right?
No.
No.
No. No, I take that back. I think I jumped in to a first encounter one night after work, but I was not going to be the one all night. I think I only joined for about an hour and it wasn't working with the group we were in. I just couldn't get the rhythm down for the first encounter. And, but other than that, yeah, solstice grind, that's been a royal pain. I'm almost a purple, almost. And then I still have the seal in my sights. And I did a little bit of reckoning earlier today while one of the babies was sleeping. And I got additional pieces.
You're just forfeiting all of your resources, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Everyone
it's fine.
Else is too. That trick didn't work on me. I never had any resources to begin with. So, ha-ha!
I used a lot of mine just to kind of get it done with.
I wasted a bunch to get bad juju and used it once and have never used it again.
I fortunately have all of that for the tribute hall. That's all done. It's the other grindy stuff for the seal that's awkward. Or awful, I should say, not awkward.
Oh, like the full Notorious set and...
Yes.
Yeah, enjoy that ride.
And the one that's going to suck for me the most is the Pinnacle Weapon. And probably Revoker is going to be the only one that I would have a chance to get.
It's not terribly hard. It's just, the hardest part is going to be getting the wins. But, you play enough, you'll get those eventually because you don't have, it's not like you have to get to 3,500 total score. It's 3,500 over the lifetime of your comp. You win a game occasionally, you'll be fine. So, yeah, that would be the one to do.
Yeah, I'm thinking about going for that, like I think I mentioned earlier, but maybe soon you should hold me accountable to that, see if I can get my sniper kills and go for at least some pinnacle weapon this season so I can get my title.
Yeah. If you stop scheduling a bunch of raids, then maybe.
If I stop scheduling raids, if we stop doing the podcast, if we stop everything, that sounds like so much fun. And then I'll just do
say all that. The 4 and 5 hour long raids, that's the biggest time crutch.
set modest goals. It depends on your skill level, but say, okay, I'm going to try to get 3 snipes a match. Only 3. That's it. And so, okay, it's going to take you 100 matches if you only go for 3, but that's like your minimum because you can get yourself into a hole where it's like you're making really stupid decisions because you're trying to get as many sniper kills as possible. And it's like, that dude was 3 feet from me. Why did I have a sniper rifle equipped? Don't be like me.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't be like me. Learn from my mistakes. Don't be like me.
Play with friends. No, I like the advice. Have a good time in the game. That's the main thing. This is the main game I play, but if I start getting like bored or salty with it, I can hop to another game for a few minutes and then come back. I never get super annoyed with the game at any point where I'm like stepping away for months or anything like that. So I think I have a pretty good relationship with the game right now. And that's how it should be.
Yeah. I tell you, I have actually played 2 other games in the past few days. I played GTA 5, which I remember now how vulgar and funny it was. And I also played a little bit of Rocket League, which I haven't played in ages. And that was kind of a nice little change. But I was like, okay, I'm done. I got to go back to Destiny because I've got shit to do.
That's the trap. It's like, I have shit to do.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it. Like, there are other games I like, but I have shit to do.
It, yeah. it keeps pulling you back every day.
Looking over our housekeeping, we don't keep you too much longer, Man-at-Arms, but okay. We don't have too many things to go over tonight for housekeeping, so we won't bore you with this. But we don't have no iTunes reviews this week. So as always, lovely listeners, if you leave a review, we will read it on the show. That helps people find us. We do appreciate everyone who has joined. Again, we've had more people join the Discord and the clan. That's helped us get up to, what are we now, clan level four pretty quickly for being a new clan.
Yep, clan level four in just a very short time.
Yep.
Thank you to all the Guardians out there.
Thank you, everyone. And I'm not sure if we have any questions. I believe a question was sent in. I'm sorry, Guardian, whoever sent that in, and I may have cut and pasted it incorrectly in the document. So we definitely want to get that going again. If you have any questions for me to read on the podcast, feel free and post that in the Discord and we'll do that. So we will just make one up. Actually, it's not totally made up. I asked this for a lot of my guests, but Man-at-Arms, what is your favorite dessert?
I was not prepared for a dessert question.
All right. We can end the podcast. My fault.
No, you must answer.
Dessert, I mean, dessert changes with my mood.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Oh, God. There is a thing, and I don't know what it's a confectionery. I don't know what it's called, but it's called a chocolate bomb. And it's basically a very small, it looks basically like a gigantic chocolate covered cherry. They just bring it out to you on a plate. So it's like a large chocolate covered cherry. So it's got like the chocolate shell on top of it, but then it's got chocolate cake on the inside. And then there's like chocolate infused mousse inside of the chocolate cake that is hot. So you have like a frozen shell on top of hot cake with hot liquid inside. And I don't know how they make it, and I think it's sorcery, but that is my favorite thing.
That sounds crazy and amazing.
That does sound crazy and amazing.
Wow.
And you cannot get one in Florida. Just throwing that out there.
No. I like, speaking of desserts, you can't get certain places. I don't know if anyone's ever had a cronut. It's like a croissant flaky inside, but like donut on
the side. I want to try a cronut.
Yeah, it's good. And I can't find them anywhere in Utah so far. I've only had them in California or other states, but.
I can't find them. Nim had posted one the other day on his Twitter. I'm like, what is that? That's a cronut. And he explained it to me. And I'm like, damn it.
Where are you?
It looks delicious.
It is. Saying if you find some, ship them to us. You are tasked to look and see if your area of the world has any.
I mean, there's a Krispy Kreme not far from
me. No, it's not going to be a Krispy. It's going to be like one of those, one-off donut places.
Well, there is one of those not too far from me either. I can't remember the name of it.
I'm Googling cronuts right now. Cronuts near me.
Cronuts near me. That's awesome. Matt, Google's smart. It can tell us that, right?
Man-at-Arms is currently walking out the door to get a cronut.
Ooh. Well, I'm going to have to get some dessert soon if we're not careful.
I found a place.
You found a place? Yes. Nice.
Hey, if you like chocolate, they had this Hershey's chocolate cake with chocolate morsels in it at Walmart. And it's good. It is good.
I got to go into North Tampa to get it. Not worth it. That's fine.
Yeah.
No reason to go there unless you're evacuating.
Well, sometime point in your life, hopefully you'll get to try that. And hopefully maybe they'll build more of them around.
I want a cronut so bad right now.
Shouldn't have said anything.
Damn it.
For any of the listeners out there, find Man-at-Arms, please, and ship him cronuts.
Yes, and he will love you forever.
Ship me all the cronuts!
Just don't ask Mr. Elmer Fudd from JSG, because I hear that packages that are supposed to be sent
winnings of sorts, like Diet Coke and chips, never made it to the party that won.
I mean, the mail is a very tricky thing to manage, bro. Postal service is complex. It's wheels within wheels. There's political hierarchies. You don't even want to know about all that.
I mean, I'm not saying that he may or may not deliver mail, but the fact that he did not send the package to somebody who won a package.
Sin, are you crying about it?
Oh, I didn't win it.
Okay.
It was Russell? Was it Russell that won it on one of his shows?
Right. That's right, yeah.
I'm going to publicly shame him as soon as we get off this.
There you go.
Poor Fudd.
What was it? What was it? Diet Coke?
You might remember, Kingsley. I think it was Diet Coke and chips or something, or a bag of Cheetos or something to do with that.
Cheetos seems familiar, but I could be wrong on that. But I don't remember anymore.
Don't worry about it. I will write this injustice on Twitter as soon as we're done with this.
Fudd, what is this? I hear you owe somebody a Diet Coke and chips.
Yes. Please send it via the Guardian Hub first and then send it to who you're supposed to send it to also. Oh, man. Well, it's been such a pleasure having you on tonight. Anything else on your mind before we wrap up the show?
No, thank you guys so much for having me on. It's always a pleasure just to be asked.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. You know, we love having guests on, and I'm sure you do on your podcast. And again, everyone who's listening to this, definitely check out Destiny Unfiltered. Check out Man at Arms. Check out his videos. In fact, Man at Arms, if you don't mind giving the lovely listeners your contact info, and then we'll also include it in our show notes.
What he means is plug yourself.
Yeah, plug yourself.
If you go to Twitter, Twitter will open all roads that lead to me. So it's @man_@arms 2112. If you go to YouTube and you type in Man at Arms, you will not get me. You will get some other dude or some kind of weird He-Man hentai. We don't even want to talk about that. It's a whole other subject. It's a different show. But if you type in Man at Arms Destiny, I will pop up.
Yeah, you will. I found you. It's not too hard. Put in Destiny. That helps. Excellent. And yeah, go check out the videos. There was a bunch that I hadn't watched yet, and I was starting to peruse through some of them earlier.
But no, thank you guys so much.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been a pleasure having you on, and yes, we'll expect you back.
Coming for sure.
Sometime in the future.
Anytime.
Sin, where can the listeners find you?
Well, now they can find me a little easier on PlayStation since I just recently changed my name consistency. I am now Sin_media on PlayStation. Sin is CYN. I am also on Twitter @Sin_media and on Twitch once a week, roughly streaming, having some fun or in some sort of shenanigans at twitch.tv/SinMedia. Kingsley, you know what to do.
Yes. You may find me as Kingsley Mac. Yes, I do know my name somewhat. Kingsley Mac on PlayStation and on Twitch. And I just stream occasionally when I raid. You may find me as MC Kingsley on Twitter. And you can find the show, The Guardian Hub, at our website, theguardianhub.com. And you can also find us on Twitter as The Guardian Hub. So everyone, thanks again for listening this week. And we'd like to thank again our guest, Man at Arms. It was a pleasure.
Thank you guys so much again.
And everyone, have a great week.
Cheers.
Yay, yay.
You said that, and I like automatically thought, ka-ka-ka-ka-ka.
That's exactly what it was. I was thinking about Chappelle, like, yay, yay. Oh, shit. Guys, thank you for having me on.